thank you to the organizers for the, I mean, few things. I mean the organizers that are above us and who made this possible, and, you know. So this was supposed to be a workshop, so I thought to conceive my lecture in, you know, by gathering some open questions that I've been looking at myself, or the people that work at UCLA, or you know, who have part of a group that made some recent progress in the structured theory of two factors of group actions, also on this same occasion recall you some well-known open problems that of course excited us for many years. Let me begin with some notations. I will also use the other slide. This is just, you know, very quickly. So I'll use this type of notation, you know, gamma and lambda for countable groups. They will basically always be discrete, infinite, I mean, infinite, not finite. And x, y will typically be probability measure spaces. And I'll use this notation, you know, from ergodic theory people for the actions of these groups on the prop spaces by, of course, by measure preserving transformations. And I'll use this cross product notation for the group measure space for Neumann algebra with the canonical unitaries, and of course with that infinity of x being the viewed as a von Neumann subalgebra here in this cross product group measure space for Neumann algebra. And L of gamma, I'll denote the group von Neumann algebra of gamma, okay, generated, if you want, by the canonical unitaries, fits inside here, like does L infinity of x. And let me just, you know, also use this notation, somewhat more general group measure space construction, if you want. It's a construction that's related to the classical Murray von Neumann group measure space construction, but it differs, as I will explain, from a certain point on, it differs. So let's R, as denoted by R gamma, the equivalence relation implemented by the action of gamma on X. So the action is a priori, you know, not ergodic, not free. So at least for the moment, for sure, okay? So I'm taking a gamma on X action, and let's denote like that the orbit equivalence relation given by the, implemented by the action. So I denote by L of R gamma, so in analogy with L of gamma, right, the associated von Neumann algebra. Well, this, I mean, you know, if you view this R gamma as groupoid, as a groupoid in an obvious way, you know, like you think of each of these TGT, you know, as each two points in an orbit as an arrow, you know, with the, and then you do basically exactly the same type of construction as for L of gamma. Okay? So if you denote that in this manner, then what happens here is that L infinity of x also sits inside, but it will always be a maximal abelian subalgebra. And in fact, also, you know, if this, of course, will also be true in the cross product, usual group measure space or cross product construction, but here it's a bit more interesting. This fact, namely that if you denote by n of a the normalizer of L infinity of x, which I've denoted by a, right, of a in m, m being L of r gamma, Okay. Then this unitary is generate M. Okay. So yeah, what you call such maximal abelian subalgebras with the normalizer generating the ambient phoneman algebra, Cartan subalgebras, so, you know, kind of diagonal type algebras. And I'll only add that if the action is free, gamma on x is free, then the two constructions coincide. This, so let me refer to this as generalized group measure space construction. Okay? So if the action is free, then the two are the same. But if, for instance, the action is trivial, I mean, if you take a big group but x trivially on the probability space, then here you get L infinity of x tensor product with L of gamma, but on the left side you just get L infinity of x, right? So this phoneman algebra really takes into account the actual part that acts the effective action. So, okay, let me also remind you very quickly that, you know, a few very well-known facts. So gamma on x is free ergodic implies that the group measure space phoneman algebra is a 2-1 factor. You remember, I took the actions, the group to be infinite, so that's why it's 2-1. And if the group would have been finite, then probability space for free ergodic actions, you know, it will be the will have finitely many points. You would have here the n by n matrices, right? But gamma is infinite, so then x is forced to be isomorphic to the interval 0, 1, and free ergodic implies that the L infinity of x cross gamma is a 2-1 factor. L of gamma is a 2-1 half factor if and only if gamma is infinite conjugacy class, ICC, and this L of R gamma is a 2-1 factor if and only if the action is ergodic. But then, of course, you have to take the precaution that the ground, the probability space is diffuse, 0, 1. And some terminology, I'd say that two actions are conjugate if there exists an identification of the an isomorphism of the probability spaces that takes really intertwines the actions. Of course, modulo some identification of the groups. And this well-known fact, I think it's due to Izzy Zinger, Henry Dye, you know, Feldman and Moore, namely that the group measure space for Neyman algebra can only remember R of gamma, let's say in the free action case. What I mean by that, let me put it in several ways. So, for instance, one way to say this is that an isomorphism of the probability spaces extends to an isomorphism of the phoneman algebras. Remember, L infinity of x, of course, any such isomorphism, you will immediately view it as an isomorphism between L infinity of x and L infinity of y. And then what I'm saying is that it leads to an isomorphism of the cross product algebras if and only if delta is an orbit equivalence, i.e., it takes the equivalence relation on one onto the other, right? Or the, if you prefer, the orbits, yeah? Intertwines the orbits. Okay? So that's all you can see. So in other words, you have this observation that conjugacy of actions implies orbit equivalence, implies isomorphism of phoneman algebras. Well, let's refer to that as, at least in writing, as W star equivalence of the group actions, and this is orbit equivalence of the group actions. I also use this V and E for Neyman equivalence, but I think it's a bit better to use W start. It's very self-explanatory. Alas, you sometimes find the proper word for it only too late. I've already used for some time DNE equivalence, and now I realize it's much nicer to use W start. okay, so yeah. Let me say very quickly some piece of terminology. I may, well, this is an audience where I don't need to do that, but I'll do it quickly. I may use this terminology hereafter, so let me, just to make sure you know what I'm talking about, to say that I will call a deformation of a tuon factor a sequence of completely positive maps of the tuon factor onto itself, unital trace preserving and tending to the identity in the point norm 2 topology. And of course, sequences like this, and more generally, I mean, CP maps, the typical CP maps that you consider are, in fact, you know, the ones that come, I'm taking them to be cross product for Neyman algebra. So in that setting, the you know, you get lots of CP maps by just taking positive definite functions on the group and taking the corresponding multiplier CP map. And of course, automorphisms of M are the ones that you know, are most interesting. It's intuitively type of CP maps that's very, you know, kind of, it's special, it's very, and so let me begin with some questions on a notion of relative property P, which I think is very important when studying this type of group measure space or cross product tuon factors arising from group actions on the probability space. So this is an important notion, I think, and it's, you know, although it's just a relative version of the classic Cohn-Jones property P, you know, it's important. I mean, it has certain feature that makes it kind of crucial notion. So a subalgebra or an inclusion of Neyman algebra has relative property T if any deformation of M is uniform on B, so must automatically be uniform on B. By that I mean that on the unit ball of B, for N large enough, phi N is uniformly close to the identity. And so let's say that an action, or if you prefer, an equivalence relation R gamma, has relative property T if the inclusion of the Cartan subalgebra L infinity of X into L of R gamma has a relative property T. I use this notation, you know, just to allow the actions not necessarily free. You know, when you take actions for which you don't impose the condition to be free, then it's better, you know, you are interested in the, I mean, the interesting then for Neyman algebra is this L of R gamma, as we agreed, right? So that's the reason I've taken that and not the cross product, the group measure space, the tuon factor. And the key observation is that if H is a discrete abelian group, and the group gamma acts on H by automorphism, so it's a group morphism of gamma into out of H, then the inclusion, corresponding inclusion H into H cross gamma, has relative property T. This, by the way, for groups, a notion that has been introduced by, I mean, it's somewhat implicit in Kasdan's, you know, 1967 paper, and has been, you know, clearly sort of displayed as a property in itself by Margulis in 72 or 73. So H into H cross gamma has a relative property T if and only if the action of gamma on the probability space H hat, with the Haar measure of course, has a relative property T in the sense I mentioned before. So you have lots of examples like that which give you examples of such relative property T, you know, situations for group actions. And these are the cluster examples, like example, Kasdan's examples, SLNZ on ZN, so it's gamma and H, right? And more generally, I mean, this for any n larger than or equal to 2, which is, I mean, for n equals 2 is quite remarkable, because you have the basically SL2Z, which is basically the free group, which is not that rigid, right? It's and it's actually the less rigid, the closest, in some sense, to being amenable of all non-amenable groups. Yet it can act in this sort of rigid way, relative, with the relative property T, in this sort of more subtle way. So it's from below the rigidity, right? It's not a core rigidity. It does not involve rigidity properties, intrinsic rigidity properties of gamma, like the relative property T of gamma. Gamma is the free group, very far from having property T. So not only that, but in fact, Birger proved, I think it was in 92 or so, that given any non-amenable subgroup of SL2Z, the action of gamma on Z square, or if you prefer on the two torus, on the dual of Z square, has this relative property T. And there are now more examples by Talia Fernos, Alain Vallet, Yehuda Shalom. It's an important notion for groups. So you saw that the definition of the relative property T for actions is a purely Fonneman algebra definition, right? I mean, this was on the previous page. Yeah. So, my first question is to give a non-Fonneman address, a measured theoretic definition of this notion, of this relative property T. So we saw that by that observation, if you want, you have, like L infinity of X, like a probability space, you can view it, in operator algebra, view it as L infinity of X, right, up to isomorphism, the probability spaces, we immediately look at them functionally. And that's the same for a group action, for the orbits of a group action. We immediately look at the inclusion Cartan subalgebra into the cross product, group measure space for Neumann algebra. So you have this perfect a translation between certain type of ergodic theory that pertains to the orbit equivalence class of the group action and isomorphism of Fonneman algebras that carry Cartan subalgebras one onto the other. And that is what I've used to introduce the definition of relative property T for the equivalence relation of a group action. Well, how could you do it, and that has to do, of course, with the definition of CP maps, all this machinery that comes from Fonneman algebra theory. And the space is kind of forgotten because you take, if you look at the definition, you take arbitrary CP maps on the Fonneman algebra, not things that come from the Cartan subalgebra, okay? So because of that, you basically, use full power Fonneman algebra theory. Well, it's really very interesting to find such a definition. I mean, people in ergodic theory would die to understand this definition, and they cannot, because there is no, that's not good, because, there is a certain insight that comes from them, and which is often very useful, and basically they cannot work without answering this question, without this question being answered. So my second question is denoted by R, the orbit equivalence relation of SL to Z on the two torus. So this question has to do with some a series of results which completely describe the symmetry structure of the action of SL and Z on the n torus for n larger than or equal to 3. So for n larger than or equal to 3, all these questions are basically sort of understood. Namely, actually I'm skipping that. I went a bit, I thought that it made a different order, so let me get back. So, I'm sorry about this. So, this is the question I thought I put first was, is another one, which will come in a second. So, related to this, first question, I'm asking here, denote by R the orbit equivalence relation of SL to Z on the two torus, and my question here is rather, given any sub-equivalence relation of R, non-amenable, does it have relative property P? Why is this interesting? Well, you see, you have this result that I mentioned of Birger here, that for any subgroup of SL to Z, the action of gamma on the two torus, for any subgroup gamma, non-amenable, the action of gamma on the two torus has relative property P. So it's sufficient, even if the group is very small, provided it's non-amenable, it's sufficient to sort of dig up and, you know, recover this relative property P. And of course, you have this natural generalization, you know, take any sub-equivalence relation, in particular one that's generated by a subgroup, does it necessarily have, of course, non-amenable, has no amenable direct summand, of course, that's actually the proper condition, does it have automatically the relative property P? And of course, you can look at quotients of the equivalence relation, like, for instance, if the equivalence relation would be given by a group, by a quotient, you simply mean you assume that the gamma action has a gamma invariant subalgebra, and that subalgebra, of course, is another itself an L infinity of a Y, and so this gamma action is induced by gamma action on Y, and in fact, you know, as you know, by von Neumann's theorem, that amounts to having a surjective map from X onto Y that commutes with the gamma action. So that's why you call such things quotients of the action. And for equivalence relation, you have a similar thing you can do. Actually, it's just a commuting square, but with the smaller subalgebra in L infinity of X and a subalgebra, say, A of L infinity of X. And the third question is, what are the groups? So you saw all the examples, I mean, there is this prototype example of relative property T situation, which is the action of SL to Z on the two torus and subgroups of that, etc. Okay, that's like the most important example. Actually, even the ones, you know, further constructed by Fernos, Balet, Shalom, they are all around this example in a certain way. Okay. Excuse me. Okay. So, So there is this natural question, this is a fascinating question, okay? It's an extremely hard probably to settle. So what are the groups for which there exists group action that are free ergodic and with relative property T? I mean, any example here, you know, of this kind, it's like a big theorem. See, these are very hard problems. And there is a recent result of Adrian Ioana, who proved that any non-amenable group, oh, this is something I, so given any, there is a somewhat weaker notion of relative property T that I considered a few years ago, and which requires only that there exists a big diffuse subalgebra of an infinity of X, which sort of kills all the orbits in a sort of self-explanatory way, and with the corresponding inclusion having relative property T. And that's what he was able to do. So given any gamma non-amenable, there exists a free ergodic action with A diffuse. Well, this is automatic by the condition I'll put. Namely, the condition is this, that the relative commutant in the, this is L infinity of X. This is what I meant by the fact that this is big enough to kill all the action, right? And such that A into this has a relative T. Okay? And with his proof being a sort of induction from the action of, so SL to Z has this relative property T, right, action on the two torus, therefore three subgroups of SL to Z have it, or if you want to, by Bourget's theorem, okay, so you take the free group into the SL to Z, the corresponding action on the two torus, and then you start inducing. So you will get for any gamma that contains a copy of F2, you know, and then in fact through a little more improved induction procedure, which was recently found by Nessa Epstein, a student of my colleague Greg Hjort. In fact, you can do it for any non-amenable, but through using a recent result of Gaboriau and Russell Lyons, using percolation, obtained through percolation methods. So there is a certain partial answer to that, but what I'm asking is, of course, the full relative property T. So these were the questions I thought I had on that previous page. So there is this fact that if the gamma action, an ergodic gamma action has a relative property T, here actually one needs also free and ergodic, then the outer automorphism group of the cross product from Neyman algebra, you don't need the three because I took just the von Neumann algebra of the equivalence relation. So out of the 2-1 factor and out of the equivalence relation are both countable. So once something is countable, in principle you can calculate it concretely. And that's, you know, it's like what I'm saying, I'm referring usually to as finding the symmetries of the structures of the equivalence relation and respectively on the 2-1 factor. And, you know, in a broader sense of, you know, correspondences as symmetries of the self-correspondences or by modules over these Poneman algebras, looking at those as you know, sort of generalized symmetries, you know, you can also calculating all the picture of by modules of finite index. So in particular, you know, looking at all looking at the quotients of such equivalence relations or subvectors of the Poneman algebra. So also those follow countable. Okay, so in principle all this picture is calculable once you have relative property P. And that's what I say, that it has been basically done for SLN Z when n is larger than or equal to 3 by Fuhrman, but using results of Zimmer, etc. So however, the case of SL2Z n equals 2 is still open, and it's a very nice question, in fact. This, I mean, it looks kind of perhaps marginal, but I view it as very, because it has to do with certain arithmeticity of this action. So both calculations of outer automorphism group of the equivalence relation of the Tuan factor, associated Tuan factor of the group action, and of this finite index sub-equivalence relations and quotients of this action. And then, you know, somewhat different from this, but very much related, of course, here you can take the group gamma to be the free group as embedded in SL2Z, some embedding into SL2Z, say the usual embedding. Well, that certainly will not give you trivial outer automorphism group for the equivalence relation, but nevertheless this may happen. You know, it may happen that you can construct actions of free groups, free ergodic actions of the free group, with the property that the outer automorphism group of the equivalence relation is trivial. So what's the outer automorphism of the equivalence relation? That's obvious, you know, it's just an automorphism of the probability space that leaves global invariant each, right, the orbit structure. If you prefer, in the Tuan factor framework, that simply means to calculate all automorphisms of the Tuan factor that leave the Cartan-Sub algebra invariant, and which effectively act on the Cartan subalgebra. I mean, so you mod out by the normal subgroup of the automorphism that leave pointwise fixed the elements of the Cartan. Okay, and of course by int. So I think I've spent quite a bit of time, and many other people have spent time to find that, because it's a sort of very natural question, and it's kind of nice. There are several people who would like this to be solved. So question from the fundamental group. Well, there is this fact that given any countable subgroup of R plus, there exists an ergodic action. So I'm putting here F infinity like a universal kind of group, right? Just in order to not write, you know, there exists a group, etc. So you see immediately what I mean by that. Instead of working with equivalence, countable equivalence relation as, you know, abstractly defined. So given any S subgroup, countable subgroup of R plus, there exists an ergodic action of F infinity, but not free, okay, necessarily free, with its orbit equivalence relation R. So this is what I wanted to avoid, just writing R without a group action. So, okay, so R, any R, you have to think any equivalence relation, you know, comes from an action of F infinity, of course, because, you know, you have a group action which is not necessarily free, right? That's the interesting case for equivalence relation, and, you know, you cover that with a copy of F infinity, right? Okay. So there exists such actions with the property that the equivalence relation has fundamental group equal to S, and with the, in fact also the fundamental group of the associated Tuon factor equal to S. Okay. Well, the fundamental group of an equivalence relation is defined exactly like for the Tuon factor, and I won't give the definition for the Tuon factor. I hope all of you know it. So it simply means the set of T's with the property that the amplification by T of the Tuon factor is isomorphic to the factor. So moreover, these examples, this particular construction, it's a concrete construction. It's not like it exists. I mean, there is a very clear and very natural construction, which, if you want, is, you know, in some sense has to do with the theory of type 3 lambda factors, so, and things of Kohn and Stermer. Okay. So what happens is, for this particular example, the amplifications, so R itself and all its amplification cannot be implemented by a free action of a group. Okay, so these are equivalence relations which are very far from coming from free group, free actions of groups. Okay, cannot be implemented by free actions. Yet they are very natural, and that, you know, this way you see, you know, how important it is, in fact, to consider equivalence relation. Actually, perhaps I should tell you the definition of this, I mean, not the definition of this factor, the construction, because it's interesting, so they are sort of almost canonical. So you take the space, so you want, say, S equals, you take a lambda different from 1, and you want to consider this subgroup, the single generated subgroup of R plus, you know, the powers of lambda. Okay, and then, so for this one you do like this. You take, 0, 1, this probability space with the measure which assigns these values, this ratio between the weight at 0 and the weight at 1. Okay, this, gamma is a group. Okay, you take this product probability space, so this is your X. Okay, and now on this probability space, so you take R0, equivalence relation, and this is what makes it impossible to fix this and make it into a free group action. Okay, so I'm taking the following amenable equivalence relation. You see immediately that it's hyperfinite. Equivalence relation on X given by, so it's like this. So you take X T, say, no, T G is equivalent to SG, right, in this product, if there are there exists a finite set outside of which T coincides, the sequences coincide, and on overall, okay, overall they you want them to have this property, so the product of the weights, wait a second, these are zeros and ones, right, so product of mu zero of tg over G in F is equal to product of mu zero of SG, G in F. Okay? So this is the hyperfinite equivalence relation, right, that you obtain by identifying, you know, if you want, you take the 2x2 matrices with this diagonal and this weight, this functional, which is not a trace, non-trivial functional, okay, and you take the Powers term, if you want, the Araki-Woods factors, the three lambda factor first, right? So 2x2 matrix is tensor by itself with its diagonal, and you take the centralizer of the corresponding state. This is it, right? This is what this gives you, the corresponding equivalence relation. The Fonneman algebra is just the centralizer of this three lambda. Okay? And then finally, you take R to be, of course, this guy, you see that it's gamma invariant. Well, R, the R that I'm looking for is R0, I write like this, which is self-explanatory. Gamma, the Bernoulli action leaves this R0 obviously invariant, right? And you take R0 cross product with gamma, okay? And when gamma, so the equivalence relation that satisfies this property with the fundamental group is, you know, for instance, if you take gamma to be a property T group or say this group, that will do. Okay, that's the example here, in here. And my question is, you see that all these S have to be countable because by construction, if you want this to stay within the separability framework, right, a 2-1 factor that's separable in this construction, you need S to be countable. So my question is, the form is any fundamental group of an equivalence relation or of a 2-1 factor, either countable or the whole R plus. So this is a very intriguing question. So I strongly believe that it's like this, so you have this dichotomy, but then, you know, Kohn shake me up by saying that he thinks it's not. So so probably, I think it can, you know, maybe not, but then it would be, of course, very interesting to see what sets can appear. So there is another example that Adrian, Jesse, and myself constructed, but which is not with Cartan-Sub algebra. So it does not come from an equivalence relation. So again, it's through three products of 2-1 factors, which has pre-assigned fundamental group. But again, the construction, you know, breaks, I mean, into... So you do get any S, but for non-separable 2-1 factors, and same here, in fact. And then, of course, it does make sense for this part. So the logicians also actually have no clue. I mean, people like, you see, there is a whole group of people in logic which are doing what's called descriptive set theory, and they are very interested in writing this kind of questions these days, you know, equivalence relations, both at the measurable and Borel side of this type of questions. And they also are sort of very, you know, preoccupied by this question. Now, there is another question I had here, which of course has to do with many similar type of questions like this, you know, like, you know, conjectures by many people. You know, whether, you see, the construction is very far from being group implementable, right? As I mentioned, you know, you can prove that it's not, cannot come from a free group, from a free action of a group, okay? And well, my question here is, if you have an equivalence relation, I mean a free action of a group, is it possible to construct situations where the fundamental group is different from one and different from R plus? So there is no such probably this I think it's the most feasible of these questions, because I think you can sort of manipulate to get some rational prescribed certain rational numbers. It's kind of clear how you have to do it. So then, but then my question is, can you do it with some irrational numbers? I mean, is this necessarily, only containing rationals when it's different from R plus? And then there is this question regarding the actions of F infinity, the free ergodic actions of F infinity. So for Fn, okay, the fundamental group is always trivial because of Gaborio's, cost and the L to Betti numbers invariance. So the fundamental group of the equivalence relation, okay, which you can view as a relative fundamental group in the 2-1 factor framework, so, just automorphism scaling the trace, but which leave the Cartan subalgebra invariant, okay, and you look for all those T's, the scaling constants. Okay, so for F infinity, this is not understood at all, whether you can obtain, not even concrete example where you obtain all R plus or just one. There are examples where you can prove it's countable. So don't expect, like in the 2-1 factor world, whereby Voiculescu's and Radulescu's theorem, you have that the fundamental group of L of F infinity is all the real, the half-line. That's not true in the, equivalence relation situation. You can have actions of F infinity whose fundamental group is a countable set, but you don't know what it is. That's a result that only says it's countable, but you cannot actually calculate it. So, that's interesting. So some questions now about Bernoulli actions and superrigidity for orbit equivalence relations. So there is this fact which I proved a few years ago, that Bernoulli actions of groups satisfying certain properties, which I'll enumerate soon, typically Kajdan groups, so property T groups, are extremely rigid, from the point of view of von Neumann algebras, but also equivalence relations, even more so for equivalence relations. So the stronger such properties, this is what I called U sub fine, this stands for finite cocycle superrigidity. So they satisfy a certain cocycle superrigidity property, which I hope to, explain very briefly. In particular, let's leave the cocycle superrigidity aside. So in particular, they are orbit equivalent superrigid. That meaning that this gamma action, so gamma is the Bernoulli action of such, of gamma is a Kajdan group, this is a Bernoulli action, the usual, that kind of action, okay? So only super rigid or orbit equivalent superrigidity for an action means that if it is given any other free ergodic action lambda on y, any orbit equivalence between this source, Bernoulli action of the Kajdan group, and such arbitrary action must come from a conjugacy. So here comes means that, of course, you cannot say that, it must be a conjugacy itself, because you can always perturb, such an orbit equivalence by inert automorphism of the equivalence relation, right? So, well, it's modulo that. So you can perturb the, I remind you what orbit equivalence means. It's an isomorphism of x onto y that carries the orbits of gamma onto the orbits of lambda, right? Orbit by orbit, okay? And of course, such things, you know, you once you have one, you can perturb them on the right by automorphisms, inner automorphisms of the lambda of the target equivalence relation, right? Well, what I'm saying is that modulo that, any such orbit equivalence must come from a conjugacy of the actions. So the actions are identical. In particular, you know, a priori gamma and lambda may not be isomorphic groups. You know, for amenable groups, you have the Contentman-Weiss theorem that says, you know, that any two pre-ergodic actions of any two infinite amenable groups are orbit equivalent, so they cannot come, you know, from a conjugacy because, you know, they may even be non-isomorphic groups, where here they do follow, the groups follow isomorphic, and in fact, if there is a complete identification of the, this is the only way you can create orbit equivalence. The conjugacies are the only orbit equivalences. So this is what it means for an action. So you see, the reason you call it super rigid is because you leave this complete freedom on the target action. And co-cycle super rigidity means that even all co-cycles, you know, are sort of in some ways trivial, in the sense that they can all be untwisted with values in very arbitrary target groups. Actually, in any group that can be is embeddable into the unitary group of a 2-1 factor, which is why you call it U-fine. Okay, so in fact, this is true for a much larger class of actions than so what I call submalleable mixing actions like quotients of the Bernoulli shift, and with gamma, you know, satisfying this very general properties. So the first one being just a generalization of the property T, but it's a very strong general in the sense that, you know, you only need a little piece inside, I mean little, it still has to be infinite subgroup with the relative property T and with some very mild normality properties that I call weakly normal. I'm not detail what that means. But second property requires even less. It simply requires the existence of an infinite subgroup with non-amenable commutant. Okay? For instance, any product group would do. This is my preferred set of problems, of questions, which of those that are not classical. So, I have spent a lot of time on these questions, and so did, you know, at least 7-8 people that I know of. So the first question requires to describe the class of groups with the property that any gamma action is co-cycle superrigid in the sense I've said, okay, with this sort of target groups, which are these groups which are embeddable into a finite von Neumann algebra. And of course you have the alternative version with the OE instead of requiring co-cycle superrigidity, you merely require orbit equivalent superrigidity. One implies the other. So co-cycle superrigidity implies orbit equivalent superrigidity. So you have, it's a class, this class CS, or if you want OES, would contain all the groups on that page, right? But it's not clear what is the largest such class. I think it's very interesting. And then a second question, and this is really a very important question. So find larger, you see the problem with this nice and huge class, by the way, you find this class contains all discrete groups, and that's what you want. I mean, this is the very important. But for instance, it does not contain all the and all compact groups, but not all locally compact groups. In particular, not the, you know, algebraic groups, you know, SLNR, I mean, you know, the classic groups are not in here at all. Actually, you can prove they are not. It's not like you don't know. Okay, it's a result of Cadiz and Zinger from 54 or so. So it would be extremely interesting to be able to extend this class to also contain, so to prove such cocycle superrigidity for target groups which are algebraic groups. Okay? And for instance, just keeping the source group with property T of Kazdan. That would be still nice enough, good enough. Now, there is there are these invariants that Feldman and Moore defined, the higher cohomology groups of an equivalence relation. Well, while these methods, you know, this cocycle superrigidity, I didn't mention it, but immediately gives you calculations of H1 of the equivalence relation, okay, they cannot, they stop short of, you know, being applicable to calculations of H2 and higher. And in fact, you know, it's amazing enough, there is absolutely no calculation of H2 or higher HNs for equivalence relations, you know, at all. There are, you know, simply there is no calculation of this group. It's quite amazing. So for gamma Kazdan and Bernoulli actions, you will expect this answer, right? This is what we expect, and that's what happens for H1. Hn of gamma meaning the usual, you know, end cohomology group with values in the two torus, right? And so, yeah, this is very bothersome. In fact, if you could answer this and with a fuselage class of U's, okay, then you would probably be able to answer this. Okay, this is my fourth question, which I think is very nice to answer. I mean, this is a very nice problem. Is it true that given any gamma and lambda non-amenable, any orbit equivalence of Bernoulli actions, gamma action with a Bernoulli lambda action, comes from a conjugacy? Okay, and you even would expect this to be true even after taking amplifications. I didn't put, but you, in all these results, including in here, you know, you can also put, you know, some powers, and this phi must follow equal to 1, which is, I mean, tells you the power of such results, because they can not only calculate, you know, all isomorphisms between certain, within a certain class of 2-1 factors, but they actually also deal with all questions related to calculations of fundamental group, etc. So this is probably yes, and that would be fantastic, because, I mean, it would be a really beautiful result. So now another question is, let gamma be non-amenable infinite conjugacy class, and this seems very specific kind of question, but if you could answer this, and it's very elementary, you know, so anybody, you know, a first year student can approach this question, because its definitions are trivial and it's a very obvious question, I mean, to state. You take a non-amenable ICC group, or probably there will be some more conditions, you know, beyond amenability, beyond non-amenability. So my question is any automorphism of the probability space on which the Bernoulli action acts that commutes with the Bernoulli action necessarily? So what you have for sure commuting with the Bernoulli action are the right shifts by elements of the group and the diagonal. So you take an automorphism of the base space and you make the product diagonally, right? And so these are the two types, and of course you can multiply these two. One is a normal subgroup, I mean it's normalized by the other. there is any automorphism that commutes with the left Bernoulli action, a product of such two such things. If you could do that, you can, you know, wipe out a lot of problems. I think I have to go kind of quickly now. So Cartan decomposition and W star superrigidity. So this is due to the following result, as the question is justified by this result. So given any two infinite conjugacy groups, I've proved a couple of years ago that if one of them, so the one on the left is Kashdan, has property T, and but acts arbitrarily on the probability space, so arbitrarily, but okay, free mixing, say, okay, mixing you need. So the group is special, the action is arbitrary, modulo this quality of being mixing, okay? On the right side, so the target action, the group is arbitrary, they are both the ICC, so, but the action is Bernoulli. Okay, well then any phoneman isomorphism of the corresponding associated 2-1 factors comes from a conjugacy. So this is what I call strong W star rigidity, or phoneman rigidity. So as opposed to orbit equivalence, strong rigidity. So here you use this terminology, which is a bit lesser than super rigidity, because you have some conditions both on the source group, which is fine, but also on the source action, but also on the target action. Well, the question that you know, I think is the sort of nice problem is to find group actions that are actually W star superrigid. Now you remember you have this huge class of orbit equivalent superrigid actions, or Bernoulli actions of these very general types of groups, Kashdan or, you know, product groups, etc. But we are not able to find, you know, a group action, free ergodic group action that's W star superrigid, meaning that given any other free ergodic action lambda on Y, any isomorphism will come from a conjugacy. Okay, so this is so there are several observations there. If one could show that if gamma Kashdan or product group and gamma on X Bernoulli implies that this guy has unique Cartan, the cross product to one factor has unique Cartan, then of course this would follow W star superrigid because of this result I mentioned before. And question along these lines is the following. So if gamma Kashdan and lambda, actually, here I think that's also true, but I think it's more nicer to put it this way. If gamma Kashdan and gamma on X Bernoulli and L infinity of X cross gamma is isomorphic to L infinity of Y cross lambda, does this imply that lambda is also Kashdan? So you see, there is, if you have two actions and they are orbit equivalent, the two free ergodic actions of two groups, gamma and lambda, and they are free actions, okay? If they are orbit equivalent, then one group has property T if and only if the other group has property T, okay? So you have, this is quite trivial, anyway, it's a result of Zimmer from 1980, but if you do the proper definition of, you know, property T in this context for orbit equivalence relation, then this is trivial. Well, for 2-1 factors, that's obvious, not at all obvious. I'm talking about actions, not group phoneman algebras. So this, if you would be able to show that if this guy is gamma, then the other has T, then the other one has T, then the actions will follow W star superrigid, of course. because then, you know, just transfer on the other side the, okay, and you can apply the orbit equivalence strong rigidity results. So also, if, for instance, PSL and Z on TN, if the this action, the corresponding, if the tuon, corresponding tuon factor would have unique Cartan, then this action would follow W star super rigid. You know, you have all kind of, now, let me accelerate here a bit. So there is this fact that Taka and I have proved this year, early this summer, that if you have gamma, a free group, or even a product of free groups, and you take a profinite action of this group, of an ergodic profinite action, not necessarily free, if you want, you can degenerate the action to a single point, you know, that actually gives you lots of interesting things. Well, then the corresponding cross product for Neumann algebra, well, first of all, I'm mentioning here this result, that it will have a Cartan subalgebra if and only if the action is free. So if you take actions, you know, including, say, a one-point set, then, you know, the corresponding tuon factor, which will be, of course, just the tensor product of three group factors, would not have Cartan. But you can take any kind of action, you know, you factor the groups onto, you take the free group onto surjective, an epimorphism on an n-generated, say, property T group, and put that one to act freely and ergodically, okay, and then you take the corresponding cross product for Neumann algebra, then it will have no Cartan. It will be a factor, a tuon factor, because the action is ergodic and the group is ICC, right? Moreover, if free, so if you take free such free profinite ergodic actions, then the L infinity of X is the unique Cartan modular unitary conjugacy, which is somewhat unusual. It's like for N by N matrices, any two Cartan are unitary conjugate. Not like in the hyperfinite tuon case, where it's true, you have a unique Cartan, but modular conjugacy by possibly outer automorphism. In fact, you need that. You can prove they are not, usually they are not unitary conjugate. Okay, so these are other candidates for W star super rigid actions. So if you could prove that some of these are OE super rigid, then they would follow W star super rigid. And another question here is to generalize this type of results to gamma like that, but arbitrary actions, not necessarily profinite, and even with Q arbitrary. And there are some, that would give you some more things. So, and of course, find other classes of tuon factors with unique Cartan. I mean, this is a fascinating question. You see, before this result, by the way, this is the only known example so far that Tak and I have obtained, which is quite amazing because you have all these results, but some of you may know that, in fact, I always avoided proving uniqueness of the Cartan by doing, you know, you prove that only certain classes of Cartan are unitary conjugate, and that's sufficient usually, right, in proving all the structural results. But to have a plain unique Cartan, I mean any two Cartan, arbitrary Cartan, this is very hard, and this is the only known example. Of course, probably it can be, some things can be pushed a bit further by other techniques. So let me, now, I told Dietmar that I will go late, so and to put me earlier because I knew I would be in time trouble, but if you want me to put the more juicy slides, then you may have a bit more, okay, a few more minutes. So contrary rigidity conjecture, I remind you, so I'm passing now to, if you want, the case, the probability space is a single point, so the group on Neumann, group tuon factors. A few questions. So I remind you briefly, contrary rigidity conjecture, So he asked in 1980 this question, if gamma, lambda are LCC groups with property T, does the fact that they are the group two factors isomorphic imply that the groups are isomorphic? For instance, he was happy enough, you know, for the classical groups. In fact, this question has been answered, not in the PSL NZ case, but for lattices in SPN1. And you know, just when taking two groups of gamma and lambda in different ends, right, for different ends, this is what I meant here, by Kaolin and Hagerup using Uffe's theory of lambda invariance. So I just wanted to mention that quantirigidity conjecture, if you throw in this context, in this framework, with all this, all these results that I mentioned before, in fact, suggest that probably this should be true, this much stronger statement, which of course would be amazing to have. So gamma is ICC property T group and lambda ICC, then any isomorphism between L of gamma and an amplification of L of lambda forces the amplification to be equal to 1, and the isomorphism to basically come from an isomorphism of groups, of course modulo some character, right, because you can always, okay. Well, this actually may be true. I mean, this would be, of course, an amazing rigidity result. And so the free group factor. So I remind you the non-isomorphism problem. You know that by now, by Voiculescu's free probability theory, you know, allowed to prove, so Florin and Ken have shown that in fact, you know, it's sufficient to prove that for some N and M you have a difference that, you know, that's sufficient to say that all of them are non-isomorphic, even with amplifications for the finite ones. Well, related to this, this is what I believe, you know, which is probably answerable. Namely that L of X infinity is not finitely generated. Now, of course, there is this fact that comes from Taka and my work that, you know, observation that all these two-one factors, the only, well, of course, there was Taka asking when he introduced the property of solidity for two-one factors, whether, you know, solidity plus the Hagerup property implies that, you know, if there are examples of two-one factors which have, of groups whose two-one factors have both these properties, yet they are not the free group factors. And by now, there are examples of that, right? Because of this result Valette and de Cornulier, Stalbert and Valette. But what about this? You know, can one give examples of groups, of groups gamma with the property that L of gamma has lambda constant equal to 1, and which are solid in this stronger sense that I have put, I think, on the one of the previous slides, which means that the normalizer, so strongly solid means that the normalizer of any diffuse hyperfinite von Neumann subalgebra is amenable. Generates an amenable von Neumann algebra. Okay, so more than just having the relative commutant amenable, it requires the whole normalizer to generate an amenable an amenable von Neumann algebra. So if you have that and lambda constant 1, does that imply that M is a free group factor, or interpolated, if you prefer? So of course you have, these are hereditary properties, so all non-amenable subfactors of L of Sn have this property. okay, so and then yes. Okay, so that's it. There is also the speculation of Dima, okay, who noticed that whenever, I mean, there seemed to be a relation between these two types of very weak equivalences of groups. So equivalences of, in the sense that, so let's call two groups W star equivalent if their group phoneme algebras are isomorphic, modulo say some amplification, and orbit equivalent if some group action, again, you know, there exist two group actions of gamma and lambda whose corresponding group measure space 2 and factor are isomorphic, I mean, the orbit equivalence be isomorphic, so which are orbit equivalent, right? Actions which are orbit equivalent modulo some amplification. And so does one, either one imply the other? And this, I think, is a very nice question, and of course you have this, which you will hear a lot about later, I guess, today. Okay, thank you.